Okay, well, I do have a sermon for us this morning. Let's see if I can pull this off.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's good. It's actually a really great story about Jesus and an amazing question that he asked a guy. But have you ever wanted something but not known what it was? You know, like you have this sense deep in you that you need something, but you just can't quite put your finger on it. You ever had that? You know kind of what I'm talking about? Sometimes we need help figuring out what we want. I remember when we first moved here in 98, and I was a little bit listless. Let's just say that. Is that a correct thing? And didn't really know what I wanted to do. I mean, I know, like, we're involved in the church here and stuff, but, like, as far as a big picture vision, and remember Becky kind of one time, like, she's really helpful in trying to make lists and organize things, and, well, what's the cons and negatives to this, and what would you, you know, big picture life kind of stuff. And there, I remember one time very clearly she said, well, Andy, what do you want? And it kind of, it's like, yeah, good question. And sometimes you need that someone to ask you that question to kind of rattle you a little bit, you know, and to try to figure it out. What do you want? What do you need? It helps us make connections to our to what's the possibilities to where we are. It helps those questions kind of validate our experience and create a moment, one of those decision moments where it's like, what do you want? And you have to have an answer. Or at least it puts you on the road to getting an answer, right? It helps connect those dots for us. And as we follow Jesus, as we explore the real Jesus, as we explore how we can connect the dots between Jesus and our neighbors, sometimes asking some of these questions are helpful. And as we emulate Jesus, we will ask these questions. And here's one time in Mark chapter 10, you can turn there with me, where Jesus asked one of those questions. One of those questions that got to the core of what this particular guy was about. So we're going to read that. Mark 10, chapter 10, verse 46 is where the little episode starts. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet! Many of the people began yelling at him. But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me! Can you picture that? When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called to the blind man, cheer up! He's calling for you! Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak. He didn't have a cloak. Sheesh. He set his cloak down. No. He threw aside his cloak or coat. I was getting those two mixed up. Sorry. He threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? My rabbi, the blind man says, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road, or followed Jesus on the way, other translations say. What do you want me to do for you? We're going to explore that in the next few minutes before we celebrate communion. That question, that haunting and kind of seems like kind of an obvious question, but I'm not so sure it was such an obvious question. This is the last healing miracle that Mark recorded. It concludes a little section on discipleship for him in his gospel. This story, by the way, is also in Matthew and Luke, but we're looking at the Mark one here. And it's an excellent illustration. This is an excellent illustration. This episode is an excellent illustration of what Mark has been talking about. What does it mean to be a disciple? And it's kind of signifying that the disciples, despite all their misunderstandings, all the previous episodes in Mark, there's all kinds of stories where they just didn't get it. This is the last healing story. And Mark is kind of saying, it's okay. You're going to get it. That's what he's saying with this story by putting it in here. You're going to see. So don't worry. You're going to see. You're going to get it. That's what mean being following me, being my disciple, Jesus is saying. It means you're going to see. And you'll be able to follow me. But that's an interesting thing. There's a real interesting vividness of this account which suggests that there's some eyewitness details, probably Peter. And if you read the other accounts, you'll see that there's some differing, like the other accounts have two blind guys. This one, Mark just chooses to have one. Don't worry about that stuff. But what happens here is in verse 46, they reached Jericho. There's a specific grounded location. They are going to a certain place. Jesus went to real places. And if you know anything about Jews, they really didn't like this section in the middle. There was Galilee up top and then Jerusalem and et cetera down in the bottom. But right in the middle, there was this big area called Samaria. They didn't like traveling through there, so they went around. They went around. They took their time. They went across the Jordan into the east, and then they crossed back the Jordan at Jericho. And so this was right on the road where they were coming back after having gone around Samaria because they didn't like those guys. They thought the Samaritans were all really bad, except Jesus didn't. They thought they were heathens, yeah. So here we are in a very specific location, and a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, which just means son of Timaeus, so was sitting beside the road. Why would they have the name there? I think actually it's Mark is telling the story of the early church here. And they're like, you know Bart, this is his story and this is our story. This is our story. This is the guy. This is what happened. You know, he's one of those guys in the church now. We all know Bart. He's a good guy. But did you know that he was once a blind beggar? And this is his story. And I'm telling you this. I think that's kind of what's going on with Mark. That's why he even says the name there. Because where else is Bart mentioned? Bartimaeus, sorry. I'm just calling him Bart. It's easier. I'm trying to shorten this. So as a blind beggar, what do we know about people who are blind in Jesus' time? What do we know? Right? They begged. Yeah, why did they beg? They had no way of income. Imagine in an agrarian society, trying to be a blind farmer. Anyone seen a blind farmer? Doesn't work so well, does it? So they were impoverished, yeah. What else do we know about blind people in Jesus' time? They'd never been healed before, okay? What else do we know about them? Really obvious one. This really obvious one. The same as they were, the blind people in Jesus' time were the same as they were in that they couldn't see. They're blind. I was waiting for that one. Anyways, I guess. Well, I'm just starting right at the very basic, okay? Don't want to assume anything. They were impoverished, and so we learned that they're panhandlers, actually, and that, like I think Nate mentioned a few weeks ago, that Son of David, have mercy on me. That's kind of the standard, hey, buddy, got some change. That's kind of what that's like, okay? It's like a panhandling request. And that's what he's doing. And we also know that blind people were excluded from temple worship, but that's a whole other story. But where do panhandlers like to go? Where the money is! They like to go where the money is, the busy streets, etc. Where do panhandlers like, what is that, someone over here? Dollarama! Yeah, maybe. Because that's right, the Dollarama is cash only place, so there's always change, see? So this blind Bart, he was hanging out on the road where all the pilgrims were because they were all coming around Samaria through Jericho and on their way to Jerusalem. It was a major, like, that's where the money was. That's like the Dollarama, eh? Of the time. This is the cash cow. And so, of course, he's going to go there. Unlike myself when I went busking, the one and only time I ever went busking in Victoria, kind of, this is a long time ago, dealing with like insecurity and stuff. I have my little guitar. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. Should I do it? Okay, I'll kind of do it. So I went downtown Victoria, and you know how there's all those main streets with all the people walking and traffic and stuff? You know those streets, like kind of like Portage? Well, I didn't do that. I didn't go there. It was like kind of some little back alley, literally, I think it was even. And it was just me playing a little bit. And then one guy walked down the street, and he looked down the alley. He kind of took a second look, and he was like, and he came over and dropped a loony in my thing or something and took pity on me. But this was not like that. This guy, he knew his deal. And he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Can you spare me some change? And Bartimaeus, in verse 50, threw aside his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. So we know that panhandlers in Jesus' time, they didn't have hats or cups. They had their cloaks. Got it that time. Or their coats. And they would spread them out, sit on them, and then people would offer their alms, their spare change, their offerings, whatever, their gifts, onto the cloak. And likely, that was one of his primary possessions, maybe even one of his only possessions. But what does it say? He throws it aside. He throws it aside. You remember that little story about when Jesus meets the rich young ruler? And he says, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says a bunch of stuff. And then he ends up saying, sell all you have and give to the poor. He never did. He couldn't. Because why? He's cheap. Sure, he's cheap. He had lots of, it says in the Bible, he has lots of wealth, right? And he couldn't give it up. That's just before this episode. What do you think that's saying? Here, the blind beggar is being held up as a model of faith. He's the one. He left everything. He threw his cloak aside. He's like, I'm out of here. I hear Jesus is in town. I'm going, son of David. Hey, buddy. Are you here? You can heal. That's what it's like. That's what he's doing. I think it would have been quite a scene. And in all three accounts, it says they were shouting. And then the crowds tried to shush them up, like, come on, you guys, just stop it. You're just bugging. Like, let him get on his way. But it says in all three counts, they shouted all the louder. So imagine this blind beggar living in poverty. Just picture that. Dusty streets, cloak there on the ground. And he's like, I don't know, probably like, I picture like really crazy, curly, big hair. I don't know why. Probably a shaggy beard, not very full, though. Like, not like your beard, man, but like real scraggly, you know? And he's like stumbling down the street. Jesus, son of David, tripping over stuff, people getting out of his way. Maybe he smelled, I don't know. But there's a sense of desperation, isn't there, in him? And he's shouting all the louder, they say. Imagine it. I kind of think he probably didn't have all his theology right. He did. He might have. He knew that the Messiah, I know. Only the Messiah can heal the blind eyes. I know. But what I'm saying is he probably didn't have all his things together. Like, he knew that Jesus could heal. And that's why he was going after. And that's the only piece of theology that he really needed. That Jesus could heal him. If there's hope, there's hope for him. And where does the hope come from? From Jesus. He didn't have the right profession, necessarily, what his society would say. He didn't have the stuff together, necessarily. He's just desperate. Have mercy on me. And Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? Wouldn't it be an obvious one? It would seem obvious. But Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do? And he responds, my rabbi. And which is Rabboni, he says, but it's more than just rabbi. It would be like the difference between the teacher and my teacher. That's what he says. My teacher, Rabboni, I want to see. How would you respond to Jesus if he was asking that question? I'm not asking you to answer, but just think about that. But I think Jesus' question did a few things in the last 3 minutes, I'm going to explore three things. What do we learn from Jesus that he asked that question? There's a lot in this story that we could unpackage, and I'm going to axe a whole bunch of it. I think Jesus teaches us to not make assumptions. Remember, this series is introducing the real Jesus to the real world. When we're introducing the real Jesus to our neighbors, to the people we work with, to the people we go to school with, to the people we hang out with, to our friends, to our family, don't make assumptions. Have you ever had someone peg you, like assume something about you that wasn't true? Another long, like 25-year-old story. I had sort of longish hair and like beard, scraggly, kind of thin. I might have actually looked like blind Bartimaeus, maybe, but kind of done a lot of traveling and stuff. And I was sitting on the street corner. I didn't remember this story until Becky reminded me last night, but was just kind of sitting on the street corner. And I guess I looked like a panhandler or something. I wasn't. I was a missionary, but I guess I looked like a panhandler guy was hanging out on the street. And someone walked by and gave me some money, gave me some change. And I was like, okay. Like, it didn't, you know. Well, thanks, buddy. I'm a missionary. I actually need some money. But it was the assumption. He'd, like, completely gone with the wrong assumption, right? Has that ever happened to you? I remember a few times in drop-in, where, like for myself, I'm often approached for stuff. Like, I need some bus fare for this, or can you help me out get to, or some food and whatever, right? And so I sometimes find myself jumping to conclusions even. And I remember one time very clearly where someone came up to me and I said, "Hi, I'm Andy. What can I help you with?" It's a bad question, especially if that person actually wasn't coming up to ask for any help. It's an assumption. And I actually did that, and she said, nothing? And I'm like, yikes. It's assumptions. And that's one of the things I learned from Jesus in this story. Don't make those assumptions. What do you want me to do for you? He says. Jesus teaches us to see deeply. It's not a coincidence that this is Mark's last recorded miracle and that it's about a blind person. How do you think Bartimaeus would have felt when the crowd told him that Jesus was asking for him? I won the lottery! Jackpot! Bingo! He's asking for me? Second thing, when we do this kind of thing, when we ask questions, not jumping to assumptions or conclusions, Jesus' question, I think, validates his experience. It validates Bartimaeus' experience. It opens the space up for interaction. Jesus met him where and how he was. He was there in a specific location. He took the time to learn his, to use our language, learn his neighbor's world. Learn his neighbor's needs. Take in the time. If we're introducing the real world to the real Jesus, let's take the time to know their needs. Know their world. And the last thing I think that Jesus teaches here is that he teaches us to take time. So he teaches us not to make assumptions or jump to conclusions. He teaches us to validate people's experiences, and he teaches us to take time. He walked around Samaria. That was not the shortcut. There's other times where he did go through Samaria. There's stories about that, but not this time. He went around. He took time. If he would have cut through, he would have missed Bartimaeus. He went to where the people were, and he was willing to be interrupted. Kind of like on our date last night, babe. We were on a date and got a phone call. And we ended up having to go to a rooming house where there was a fight. just for some friends. But then we, you know, dealt really quickly with it and kept on our date, but that was a good one. But be willing to be interrupted. I think that's what Jesus teaches us. So what do you want me to do for you? Jesus does these things, and he's inviting us to do it with those who cross our own paths. And it's up to us to see them, to take time to meet them, to open up space for conversation, validate their experiences. And amazing things will happen on the other side of those. Amazing things will happen. Sight will be given. People will experience Jesus.